Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by Satan. St. Mark says it so simply. The other Gospels give a lot more detail. Jesus was fasting for 40 days. The great culminating temptations that Satan brought and the manner in which Jesus responded to them. Turn these stones into bread. Throw yourself down from the temple. Worship me, and I will give you all of the world. These and every other temptation resisted with the word of God and steadfast faith. The first Sunday of Lent always begins with the story of the temptation of Jesus. And it always resonates because temptation is something we know, for we are tempted. In common ways and each in our own, we are daily faced with temptations. And there are times when we struggle to understand, to endure, to resist, to believe. In the Lord's Prayer, we pray, "Lead us not into temptation." And we learn Luther's explanation to that, an explanation which reflects this morning's epistle reading. What does this mean? God indeed tempts no one. But we pray in this petition that God would guard and keep us so that the devil, the world, and our flesh may not deceive us, nor seduce us into false belief, despair, and other great shame and vice. Though we are attacked by these things, we pray that still we may finally overcome them and gain the victory. Oh, it's true. God tempts no one. And yet the Spirit drove Jesus into the wilderness. God himself calls Abraham to arise and go out into the wilderness and to sacrifice Isaac. And there are times when at least we have to admit that God allows us to be tempted in ways that we cannot understand. So the great why remains. Why does God do such things? Why would he allow this? And the answer is found in his purpose. When we understand what God is doing in our lives, we may understand our own temptations and the way that God tests us, because the difference is intent. A temptation is brought in order to encourage someone to fail, to fall, to stumble. But a test is given in order to enable a person to succeed, to triumph. It's something we see in our Old Testament reading as God tests his faithful servant, Abraham. After years of waiting for God's promise to be fulfilled, years of trusting, of patient and impatient wondering, Abraham is given a test that seems just too much to bear. Abraham, God calls, take your son, your only son, Isaac, your only son whom you love, take him out to the mountains of Moriah, where your neighbors so often go. Go to the place where I will show you, and sacrifice your only son. Give him up as a burnt offering. And though he must have been so very confused, Abraham obeyed. With no record of him talking to anyone, he simply gets up in the morning with Isaac and some servants, and he leaves. After 3 days, days that must have been filled with anguish and doubt, they stop and leave the servants and the donkey. Abraham takes up the tools of sacrifice, and on Isaac he places the wood that would burn him. Isaac knows enough to question his father. Father, I see the wood, I see the fire, but where's the lamb? God will provide, my son. Words of sorrow to a father who had waited so long for God to provide him with a son and an heir. But the test continued all the way out to the moment of death, when God finally stopped Abraham. A test. A hard test, one that was passed. But what was tested in great Abraham? His faith, surely, but in what way? Abraham's trust in God, that God would provide all that was needed, that God would be true to his word, was being tested to its very limits. Abraham's obedience to God was being tested. Did he have the faith to trust, even when it seemed contrary to what he thought should be, even when he wouldn't understand? Oh, indeed, Abraham's very conception of who God is was being tested. Could it be that I was wrong all this time? That the God that I worship is just like the gods of my neighbors? Bloodthirsty gods ready to take children from their parents, to sacrifice them in fire for the needs of this earth? Are the gods hungry for human flesh? Could God really desire the death of my son? The book of Hebrews teaches that Abraham's trust that God would provide a solution was being tested. And they were tests. Hard to be sure, but tests designed to show Abraham who he was, who God was, designed to show great blessings. But any one of those tests might have been twisted, turned instead into a temptation, an occasion for sin. And I have no doubt that Satan was doing his worst to make it so. Abraham, you see, you can't trust that God. Don't listen. Turn away. Abraham, you see, your God is just like Molech. Just like the gods who demand blood. Abraham, you see, the promise of God isn't worth anything. Take care of yourself. Follow your own way. Abraham, don't listen. Run away. Find another God. Live your way. But Abraham believed. By the gift of faith that only God can give, as the Lord intended, this test demonstrated faith. And it didn't need to be demonstrated like this for God to know. For the omniscient creator of all knew the outcome of this day. He knew that Abraham would pass this test. But what God knew was now evident to all. Abraham knew. We know. The world knows that Abraham was a righteous man. Righteous not by his unwavering, not by his works, but righteous by his faith. A faith which trusted God to fulfill his word. And he is the spiritual father of all who have faith in the true and living God. Our father, Abraham. But what a different test we see in the gospel. Immediately following his baptism, Jesus was driven out into the wilderness. The Greek literally says he was thrown out into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. We pray for deliverance, but Jesus is sent to face the worst. For as Israel once was tempted in the wilderness wanderings, as Abraham was tested in the wilderness, so now the Son of God is tested and tempted on behalf of all mankind in the wilderness, surrounded by wild beasts. The wilderness is a place of temptation, a lonely place, a place where thoughts assail a person. St. John Chrysostom wrote, "You see how the Spirit led him not only into a city or public arena, but into a wilderness, into a desolate place. The Spirit extended the devil an occasion to test him, not only by hunger, but by loneliness. For it is there most especially that the devil assails us, when he sees us alone and by ourselves." Now, unlike all others who are tempted, Jesus did not waver. He answered temptations with the Word of God. He did not succumb to any of them, and Satan brought out the great ones. But Jesus faithfully followed God's will. Was there any doubt about the outcome? The temptations were real and must have been difficult, but Jesus is God. And if sin is a violation of God's will, God cannot sin. Surely God was not surprised at his own ability to follow his own will. But the temptation did not occur for his sake, but for ours. This was a test, one that God knew would be passed, one that would not lead to sin, but a test to show to all who this Jesus is. The early church fathers compare the temptation of Jesus to the way a refiner used fire to test if something was truly gold. A seller offering gold for sale that he knows is genuine has nothing to fear from such a test. He knows what the outcome will be, but the buyer is wise to be sure what he is acquiring. God was not unsure who Jesus was. He knew what the outcome of the temptation would be. But the test was real. The strain placed upon the one being tested is genuine. And it is done for those who will receive this Jesus. Done for us. And Jesus passed. He was tempted for us because we so regularly give in to the simplest of temptations. He not only gives us forgiveness for our failures, but the obedience that he demonstrated in resisting temptation is also accounted to us. There in the wilderness, the Son of God overcame temptation to you. He gave that gift to you. God sees you as one who resists temptation because of Jesus' victory. And we need that victory because we are tested and tempted. So which is it with us? Are the challenges that we face temptations meant to cause us to sin, or tests meant to show us what we're made of? The answer may depend on who we ask. For the things that God gives us for blessings may be twisted into opportunities to sin, and afflictions sent by the enemy may be transformed into blessing if met with faith. And simply remembering how God works can help us understand and endure. For God allows them to occur so that we can know the blessing of resisting, so that we can see the strength of the faith that He gives, so that we can learn all the more to trust Him. St. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 10:13, "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, He will always provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it." And God shows us that means of escape in Christ Jesus. For our Savior, who resisted temptation, now strengthens the tempted and delivers the fallen. See how God's plan was prefigured even in our Old Testament reading today. Consider this story where Isaac, the only son of Abraham, the loved son, is to be offered as a sacrifice. Isaac, a type of Christ, went willingly to sacrifice, old enough to understand, old enough even to participate, old enough to question when he knows that things are not as they appear. Isaac carries the wood of his own sacrifice, even as Jesus carries his own cross. But in the temple, it was a priest who carried the wood for sacrifice. As Origen said, to carry the wood for the burnt offering is the duty of a priest. He therefore becomes both victim and priest. One who carries out sacrifice, one who goes to be sacrificed. But the similarity ends there. And a new one is introduced. For God would not allow Abraham to kill his son. Instead, God provides a substitute. A ram provided miraculously for sacrifice. An animal that was slain and offered to God so that Isaac might live. And like Isaac, we have been taken out into the wilderness. A place where we deserve to die. But the guilt, it's our own. Our sin has led to just condemnation. And we should carry the instruments of our own death and lie down without question, recognizing the justice of such a verdict. But God does not bind us to an altar of sacrifice. Instead, he provides a lamb for himself. Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And no substitute would be offered for this one, the Son. The only Son whom God loved would be sent to sacrifice. And he himself would be the substitute for all. He carried the wood of his own sacrifice. He laid down his own life as a priestly act. Both priest and victim, Jesus was tested on Calvary. And in his death, he was shown to be the Lord of all. God spared Isaac. But Romans 8:32 says, "He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not graciously give us all things?" The book of Hebrews teaches that Abraham believed that if necessary, God would raise Isaac from the dead. But God did raise Jesus from the dead. And through his victory, he gives life and freedom for all. And now the living Christ strengthens and delivers the tempted. Through living in grace and forgiveness, God calls us to flee temptation, to resist, because through this he strengthens us and blesses us. For what the devil and the world mean as temptations, God allows as a test, knowing that in faithful resistance, we find strength, endurance, and knowing that in failure, we find grace and mercy. So perhaps in faith this Lenten tide, we might embrace God's holy testing, not as an excuse to fail, but as an opportunity to see God in action, knowing that God is a faithful God who provides all that is needed, knowing that God will work in us and through us to his glory, knowing that God surrounds us with grace. And in Christ Jesus, we endure. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
We now rise to confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.